I thank the Lord tonight for all that He is to me. I have written on the board, the exchange, and I'd like for us to bring our attention and to think of it in a sense as a room, the room of exchange.
Yes.
Satan, we heard about the wiles of the devil last night and the lies that he tells. And there is one of our songs that says, Satan whispers, thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. And he's saying that you turn to the Lord and the yoke is hard to bear. And I want to talk about those things that are hard to bear. So let's just talk about that tonight. I'd like to go to first Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It talks about Moses. And the 23rd verse, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So that's, you know, the enemy is trying to say, serving the Lord, you're going to suffer afflictions with the people of God. And you could be enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. But we also have, those are lies.
Yes.
We also have a song that says, tell me not then of the pleasures that sting, coiled under roses of pride. Every moral decision has an eternal consequence.
That's true.
And the devil doesn't tell you about that. So I want to talk about some of those things that are hard to bear. Let's just talk about this exchange, okay?
Uh-huh.
I'd like for us to go to John, the 4th chapter. Moral decisions that are not made for the good hurt.
Yes.
They cause pain to a lot of people, sometimes not just them alone. So let's talk about this woman at the well. 4:7 of John, it says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So first of all, this was an unusual request, because a Jew is actually speaking to a Samaritan. They were at odds. They did not speak to one another. The Samaritans thought they were better than the Jews. The Jews thought they were better than the Samaritans. They were in, impasse, I guess is the right word. They didn't regard each other at all. And here's Jesus speaking to a Samaritan woman. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, from whence thou hast, then hast thou that living water. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Let me give you, Jesus is saying, let me give you an exchange.
That's right.
I'm offering you something that's better than what you've got.
Yes.
And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that saidst thou truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. I understand now I'm dealing with something more than just a Jew. You know more about me maybe than I know myself. And now I am aware of this. But Jesus was saying, I have an exchange That's for right. you. I have something for you Amen. In return for what you can give me. Yes. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when thou shalt neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. Salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Amen.
And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. You're talking to a Samaritan. Jesus, you know what you're doing. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? There was an exchange.
Yes.
An acknowledgement of something more than what I've got. You know, the pleasures of sin sting.
That's right.
You know, coiled. Yes. What's coiled?
Yes.
A snake.
Yes.
You pick that beautiful rose, there's going to be a snake bite every time. Every time. I've thought a lot about the pleasures that people seek. Just think of alcohol or substance. Yes. Substance abuse. It doesn't start out abuse. It starts out a pleasure. It doesn't start out being something that could cost you, your family, possibly your sanity, your home, and all your money. That doesn't look too good, does it? What was it Satan tried to whisper? Thy gain will not repay the loss, whose yoke is hard to bear. How hard is that yoke to bear? Let me just say, I have gotten acquainted with a woman and just recently, and she's become a very dear little friend, and she was raised in the home of an alcoholic. And she just turned 70 years old, and she still suffers from the pain of that habit. She saw her mother beat many times. One time, it was told by her father to go lay in bed, but he was getting ready to beat her. Told her sister the same thing. So they lay in bed crying, not knowing what they had done. See what it did? Mm-hmm. It cost. Is that a yoke hard to bear? Don't you want to exchange that? Isn't there something better? I do believe she loves the Lord, and she's trying her very best with all that she knows to live for him. And she said, it took me a long time to finally realize that the Lord loved me without judgment or without condemnation, I think is what the word is. And I said, yes, you're worthy to be loved. You're a God's child. You were created by him.
Yes.
But it's taken her that long. She still carries
yes.
that yoke. That yoke is hard to bear, and it was given to her without her wanting it. Mm-hmm. And then it produced in her many failed marriages. One child, an estrangement from him, not speaking to him at all right now. And I thought, that yoke is hard to bear. But the Lord wants to give an exchange.
Yes,
he wants to give a hope. He wants to give something different.
Yes.
Well, you know, there are other things. That's just one instance here. Let's go to Mark, the 5th chapter. This was a story of such pity and such hurt of what this man had to go through. And what did it start out with? I don't know. We have a world that seems fascinated by darkness and
That's right.
skulls and skeletons and death
yeah.
and black. Just they're just fascinated by that. And I thought, do you realize there's a greater exchange for that?
That's right.
Greater thought patterns than that. What did his start out with? Did it start out with just a meeting with friends? What did it start out with? What was the first devil that entered into him? because he welcomed it. What was that first one? And then it says they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. Once again, those are choices that were made.
Yes.
Driven by things that eventually he could not control.
That's right. That's right.
But he was driven by them into these dark, deadly places. I'm not saying you shouldn't visit a cemetery, but his dwelling was among the tombs.
Right.
No man could bind him, no, not with chains. So when he entered someplace, there was fear. People looked at him with open eyes and great fear of a man who could break fetters and chains. We don't want him around. Maybe that's why he was in the tombs. Maybe he was driven out. What wasn't loved by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just get this man out of town. He's a danger. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him, but yet this man was still, if you think about it, was still such emotional chains.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was in bondage under these demons. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Do you know there are people today who are miserable enough that they cut themselves? Cutters is what they're called. What kind of bondage is that? You know, the devil lied when he says, "Thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear." You know what yoke's hard to bear? The yoke that the enemy puts on you. It's always hard to bear. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I had to have to do with thee, thou Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, and I can almost imagine that the multiplicity of voices that came out of his mouth was more than one, when he said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." It started out with maybe a trifling with the occult. Maybe it was just a little dare, or maybe it was a little interest there in that particular realm. But he was bound. He was bound. And I think of a world that we live in that follows hard after, you just think about the spirit of lust. This was a man who was not even able to wear clothes. And we have a world that loves that spirit.
That's
they
right.
follow after that.
That's right.
But do you know a lustful spirit will cost you a marriage?
Yes. Right.
You're chasing after something unclean.
That's right.
A lustful spirit. You think about it. How many babies are killed? Because they resulted from a lustful relationship. And we've got to get rid of the evidence, so let's just kill it. That's a hard yoke to bear, if you ask me. I've read about these incidences and how guilty they feel. I had to lay this aside because my career was on a tangent and I was getting ready to soar with success, and this would have hindered me. But oh, the regret they felt and said, "I'll never do that again. I regret doing that. The successes that I had could never pay for what I cost a life in." That's a hard yoke to bear. So when the devil says, "You serve the Lord, you're just going to have troubles all the time. You're going to be afflicted. You're just going to be wounded. And you're just going to have to live such a stalwart life that you're just going to be miserable. Thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear." Well, it's a lie.
That's right.
Because I've just told you the yokes that are hard to bear. I've seen the brokenness of people when they followed after those things that were not pleasing to God. And it costs something. It costs something. It's great. In John, the 5th chapter. And the 5th verse. So I'd like to just think about this. It was a kind of a interesting, wonderful thought. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Wouldn't that be amazing? Every year, just go down to see what was happening down at Bethesda. Let's just go to Bethesda and see who gets in first. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. That's a long time.
Yes.
That's a hard yoke to bear. Don't know what the affliction was. Don't really have to know. But we know he was bound by an infirmity. And this is a physical one. This is a physical one. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. I've gotten beaten out every time. Did he get beaten out 38 years in a row? I don't know. Possibly. A long time.
Yes.
Do you know, Jesus had an exchange for him.
Yes.
Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful ending. What an exchange.
Yes.
I didn't have anybody to put me in the pool, but I got a hold of the healer.
Yes.
The great physician. But Jesus had a strange question, I thought. Wilt thou be made whole? I've watched people sometimes in affliction. And sometimes when you're in it a long time, you don't know how to be well, if that makes sense. You can actually be bound by a spirit of infirmity. If that makes sense. I don't think this was necessarily the case, but I want to deal with that tonight. There are things besides physical problems that actually bind us.
That's right. Yeah.
There, sometimes the physical is not, it's important, but there have been people who have been bound emotionally.
That's right. Yes.
For years.
Don't
know how to come out from under that. There have been people who have been bound by darkness or depression or oppression. And when Jesus says, Wilt thou be made whole? There has to be something in the mind that turns. There has to be a switch that says, Yes, I want to be made whole. I want to be made whole. I want something different than what this is. I want something. I want the exchange. I want to go to that room and I want to talk to the Lord. You know, Jesus said, Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, I can make them as wool. I have an exchange. It's a positive one. It's not true what the devil said. Thy gain will not repay the loss. His yoke is hard to bear. Do you know who could say that, though? Jesus can. You serve the devil, your gain will never repay your loss. Because his yoke is hard to bear. And he won't help you with it. He will beat you down with it. He will tear you up with it. Have you ever been under the bondage of guilt? That's a terrible bondage to be under. I don't know if I'm making the right move or not. I'm I'm not secure in the Lord. I don't know. Did I do it wrong? Did I do it right? And does he find favor with me? Would I go to heaven? Would I not? I'm so questioning that I'm just under that bondage of guilt. Do you want to be made whole? The Lord wants to exchange that. He wants to exchange that. So, he thought of the ways of sin and the spirits that try to make it look attractive. There's all kinds of glitter on it, all kinds of things that just are so attractive. It'll catch your attention and look at it. But, is it worth it? Is it worth losing your children, losing your home, losing your soul, ultimately? But the Lord says, I have an exchange. I have something for you that just take that dirt out of your mouth and let me give you something wholesome to eat. Instead of imbibing and all of those things that are out there that cloud the mind, I can give you something clean and whole.
Thank the Lord.
So let's talk about that exchange. Isaiah, the 61st chapter. I love these scriptures. It just almost feels like it melts all over my soul every time I read them.
Yes.
Because our Lord came to do just that, and he has done just that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yes.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You think about all the beautiful things just mentioned. Oh, Lord, all I can bring to you is filthy rags. They're so filthy. I can't do anything with them. Would you take them, Lord? Lord said, sure. And let me give you a robe of white righteousness. All I have, Lord, is ashes of my deeds that I have done, ashes of the things that I have done wrong, all the things that, all the hangovers, all the withdrawals, all the poverty, all the guilt, the bitterness. You think about that, a yoke hard to bear. You drink that tea of bitterness, that root of bitterness in that tea. Do you know that's a hard yoke to bear? It kind of makes you hard for other people to bear you too. Because it doesn't take long for you to vomit out all of the bitterness that you've got. The Lord says, I have something better for you. I've got something for you. I've got a garment of praise for that spirit of bitterness. I've got something for you. Let's have a trade. Let's have something. Unforgiveness. Do you know that's a hard yoke to bear? Unforgiveness. If I forgive them, that means I've condoned the actions that they committed against me. Wrong. Forgiveness means you've handed it to a Lord that will take care of
That's
it perfectly.
Right.
Forgiveness means you have acquitted them. Because what you're doing is you're holding them hostage. As long as you have that in your mind, you're holding them hostage for the deeds they committed, and they probably did them. But you're almost feeling like the judge of the matter, and you can't be. Mm-hmm. And when you release it, you've given it to the hands of a God who'll do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to worry about it anymore. You get that garment of praise on for that spirit of heaviness. What a beautiful exchange.
Amen.
Everything we have is nothing. But everything he is everything.
That's right.
And I thank the Lord for that. I appreciate.
Yeah.
I just want to read that again. And I want it to melt into your soul too.
Yeah.
to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes.
Hallelujah.
I like beautiful things.
Yes.
Beautiful sunrises. Beautiful sunsets. Lord knows what beauty is. He made beauty in the lives of his people. When I look around and see God's holiness exhibited in the lives of people of God, it's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
It's a beautiful thing. It has nothing to do with the plastic surgery, but everything to do with the surgery he can do on your life. He can make you into a new creature. That people won't even recognize that old sinful spirit that you had.
That's right. That's
because they see the light of Christ in your life. Isn't that beautiful? The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that we might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I thank the Lord for the exchange. Desire you pray for me.